Today's broadcast is pre-recorded.
Okay, when I drove in this morning, I listened to the Radio Health Journal for just a moment, and they were talking about mysteriously unexplained deaths in children below the two years of age, and I thought to myself, you know, Roy, about 20 years ago, I did this literature search because I had a patient. She lost her daughter. It was so horrifically sad. Oh, my goodness, I felt so bad for her. But nobody could explain why. And so when I started reading and studying, I was trying to come up with any type of research or documentation that might, you know, knit the fabric together or sew the pieces of the puzzle together to try to figure out, why are these kids dying? And I came across one study from New Zealand. And let me just say it this way. I don't remember it perfectly, but it kind of jogged my mind a while ago. They had one of the highest sudden infant death syndrome rates of all time. And I can tell you what they traced it back to. It took them 10 years to solve it, but they finally did. It was because these polyvinyl-coated mattresses that babies sleep on, you know what they sell at the store, plastic, they are outgassing. Now, the outgassing obviously is invisible. If you went to a store and you saw purple smoke emanating from a mattress, would you buy that for your baby to sleep on? No, of course not. But what would happen was these children were sleeping in a fog of chemicals that were outgassing off the mattress. Yeah. Well, who would do that? Once they did away with those mattresses, all of a sudden it went away. You ever heard of a futon mattress made of cotton batting and just cotton natural fibers? Oh, my word. Phenomenal. No outgassing off that stuff. Anyway, I want to read this to you right here. It comes from Sea Salt's Hidden Powers. I mean, the bottom line is we got to come to terms with what we're doing. If you want to have excellent health, then this is something you should pay attention to. This comes from Jacques Delongre. Wait, did I make that sound French enough? Because table salt comes from the same batch as vacuum refined industrial salt, it is treated with caustic soda or lime to remove all traces of magnesium salts. These vital magnesium salts are not taken out because they keep the salt from flowing out of the dispenser spout. No, it's because they bring in more profits on the chemical market. Yet these magnesium salts are a very necessary part of the food salt and fill important biological and therapeutic roles. Further, to prevent any moisture from being reabsorbed, salt refiners now add aluminosilicate of sodium or yellow prussiate of soda as desiccants plus different bleaches to the final salt formula. I know that was a mouthful, but they're actually adding aluminum salts to make it keep from clumping together. Okay? But since table salt, chemically treated in this way, will no longer combine with human body fluid, it invariably, that's a pretty important point right there. So what I'm saying is, when you take highly refined salt that's full of aluminum powder, it just doesn't work within your cells and your body fluids like real salt does. But since this table salt, chemically treated in this way, it will no longer combine with the human body fluid, it invariably causes severe problems of edema. You know what edema is? That's water retention. And several other health disturbances. The fear of salt that we witness today and the virtual ban on consuming products with a high sodium content is a matter of serious concern to biologists. Salt-free diets can cause salt starvation, which is a stark reality of our modern world, but it's actually a starvation of the macro and the trace minerals. a biological deficiency that refined sodium chloride alone cannot correct. Well, let me just tell you what the solution is. I think I went to Drug Emporium a couple days ago in the evening. I was looking for some water to drink. Yes, they have a water there that is my fantasy beverage. I won't tell you the name of it. Topo Chico. Never mind. But anyway, when I was there, I walked down the aisle that sold salt. And, you know, they had it right there. Here's your answer. You're asking me the question, well, Dr. Morgan, what exactly do I need? Well, this is what you need. If you want your cells to perform at a high level, if you want to maintain high levels of hydration, and yeah, your cells are batteries. They generate electricity. Actually, I could probably tell you that your whole body is a solar-charged battery. What's going to happen to you if you never go outside and put your skin in direct sunlight? What's going to happen if you're dehydrated and if you don't have the type of salt that you need to make sure your batteries produce great electricity, or we should interpret that into energy? Well, when I walked down the aisle, there it was. They had bags of Celtic salt. You ever heard of Celtic salt? C-E-L-T-I-C. You want to call it Celtic? That's fine, too. But they also had bags of what's called Redmond sea salt. Hey, that's a great product also. But if you just rely heavily on refined salt because you're eating junk food all day long, well, something's going to catch up with you at some point. I don't vote that that happens. I vote that we get good salt that God designed for our bodies. You need to be very strong and healthy, don't you? Okay. All right, here comes from the journal Laboratory Invest. I tried to make it say investigation. That's wrong. 1986, volume 18, page 465. All right, here's the idea, and I kind of covered this topic briefly this week with a lady that called on the phone. Okay, the idea is that a vegetarian diet will protect you against atherosclerosis. Do you know what atherosclerosis is? That is when you build up plaque in your arteries. So when your arteries are inflamed, if they stay inflamed long enough, what's going to happen to them? You're going to have calcification. And you're probably going to have some old oxidized cholesterol that kind of makes a patch in the arteries. Well, is anybody out there listening right now want to have hardening of the arteries? Well, the answer is no. That's a rhetorical question. Of course not. So here's the idea. Will a vegetarian diet protect you against hardening of the arteries? All right. Here's their study. The International Atherosclerosis Project found that vegetarians had just as much atherosclerosis as meat eaters. Okay, that may be a shock to you, but that's the reality of it. Okay, number next. When I was younger, I used to read about this guy in the newspaper. He's really famous, and he's from Houston. His name is Michael DeBakey. He's one of the most world-renowned heart surgeons from Houston, which back in the day, he was the man. If you had some issue with a loved one and they had a heart condition, Michael DeBakey is the one you wanted to take him to, right? Okay. Michael DeBakey, the world-renowned heart surgeon from Houston, who has devoted extensive research into the cholesterol coronary disease theory, he states that out of every 10 people in the United States who have had atherosclerotic heart disease, that only 3 or 4 of these 10 people, they have high cholesterol levels. Okay, are you with me on that? This is what Dr. DeBakey is saying. This is approximately the identical rate of elevated cholesterol found in the general population. Are you with me? This is his comment, and I quote, "If you say cholesterol is the cause, how do you explain the other 60 to 70% of the people with heart disease that don't have high cholesterol?" Are you okay? So Dr. DeBakey made analysis of the cholesterol levels from the usual hospital laboratory analyses of 1,700 patients of his with atherosclerotic disease, and he found that there is no positive or definitive relationship or correlation between serum cholesterol levels and the extent or the nature of atherosclerotic disease. This comes from a book by H. Leon Abrams. The book is titled Vegetarianism, an Anthropological Nutritional Evaluation. What he means is, we're putting it to the test to see if it's true. Do you agree with me? Just because a person says something, does that make it true? No. I just love the passage in Acts chapter 17. And the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica. You know, what is the bottom line here? They actually studied and read the Word of God to see if what the Apostle Paul and his buddy Silas was saying, was it true? Is it okay for them to question Paul and Silas? Absolutely. Is it okay for you to question me? Absolutely. What if I'm wrong about something? Well, so isn't that interesting? I don't know if you've heard this before, but literally 2/3 of all heart attacks, they occur when your cholesterol is below 180. You ever heard that? And so what if high cholesterol is actually really, really good for you? Now, you got to tell me if you can wrap your mind around this or not, because maybe you can't. I mean, there's been a lot of topics that it took me a long time to wrap my mind around. I'm going, okay, Roy, you're going to have to stop this nonsense, son. We're going to have to focus on what the truth is. Because I had held some beliefs that just weren't true. Okay, let me lay this on you right here. This comes from William Campbell Douglas, M.D. It's called The Milk Book. Let me read this to you. I know this is so simple, but just listen to it and hear it out, because we think we are so smart when it comes to health. And so, but, you know, let's question it. This is about margarine versus butter. Listen to this. Other than the fact that margarine may kill you, I like the way he starts it off, what else is wrong with it? He says an English institution for boys ran a nutritional experiment in the year 1938. Well, I'm glad they did this in 1938, because if they'd waited another year or so, that would have been during World War II, and this probably wouldn't have happened. A group of boys were fed 1¾ ounces of New Zealand grass-fed butter. What kind of a crazy school would do that, to give 1¾ ounces of New Zealand grass-fed butter? Are you kidding me? That's not just a pat of butter, folks. 1¾ ounces, we might as well call it 2 ounces of butter. That is a big honking slab of butter off a stick of butter, right? Okay. So one group of boys, they gave them a whole bunch of butter, and the other group was fed margarine, okay? This is the observation. They say that margarine proved worthless for growth, but the butter group, they grew an extra 0.38 inches during the experimental period. Okay. That's pretty impressive. The investigators had previously done a similar test on rats, and they concluded there is something in butter that isn't in margarine, and it works on boys the same as on rats. I'm not comparing to your sons to rats. Although, I think that I've personally called one of my sons a... Never mind. If you want to join me on the radio, there is a phone line open. Somebody's been trying to get in, but I wanted to make sure and I got this information out to you. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great.
Oh, sounds like it. So, hey, I have somebody here from Chicago who is not awake yet, but...
Well, just put the radio by their ear and I'll whisper good morning to them in it. Okay.
And he wanted to know if it was appropriate to ask questions about mental health issues. And I said, well,
of course it is. That's like, let me say this real quick. Would you believe me if I told you the number one claim for disability in the year 20 and 21 is going to be anxiety and depression?
Yep.
It is, and that's reality. That's so bad. Somebody will go to an attorney and say, I am unable to function, I can't work, I can't keep a job because of this. And judges are granting it. So it's not because somebody's been run over by a train and they have their legs cut off. It's not because of advanced diabetes. It's not even because of military injuries or a broken back. It's because of anxiety. So, yeah, this is appropriate.
Well, we're talking bipolar and PTSD.
Right.
And tired of being an experiment.
Well, then he has the right to reject being experiment. And so it's as simple as this right here. PTSD is extremely real.
Yes.
And there is a very, very simple, straightforward way to heal that. I just can't tell you what it is on the radio. I'll tell you off the air.
Okay.
But let me say this. Years ago, I did a study on bipolar. And let's just say with bipolar, they just have opposing extremes of emotions.
Right.
They're not really in the middle. They're either really, really high or they're really, really low. And I know it's just not a whole lot of fun to hear somebody talk when they're really in a low, bad, bad place, because you want to help them and you want to encourage them. But when they're down there in the pit, there's not much you can do to kind of get them off that track, is there?
No, you're right. There's not.
Okay, so years ago, there was one very unique study. Most likely, it didn't receive a lot of press because it involved taking huge amounts of psychotropic medications, because that's what gets the press. But let me say this, and you're welcome to challenge anything I say. It's fine. You're not going to hurt my feelings. Every time a person takes a drug for some type of a mental health problem, whether it's bipolar or PTSD or severe anxiety, panic attacks, depression, borderline personality disorder, schizophrenia, just the whole gamut. I probably left 300 conditions out just because I can't remember all of them, okay?
Right.
Every time a drug is taken, all I have to do is go to a website called drugs.com, and I'll type in, let's say, lithium carbonate. Dude, do you know how much damage that crappy drug does to the body? It's impossible. It's incompatible to say brain health and psychotropic drugs in the same sentence. Now, I know what they're there for. Because when I was in school back in the 80s, the pharmacist that taught me pharmacology, he said, Roy, let me tell you how this works. There's only one purpose for drugs. And so I'm listening to the pharmacist. I'm not sitting in the front row, by the way. I'm like two rows from the back. That tells you where I was. And so he would say, the only purpose of a medicine or a drug is to get somebody through a crisis until you can figure out what the problem is. And so you can deal with the events of their life, and you can get to the root cause of the problem. Then once they're healed, they don't need the drug anymore. And I'm going, I think I can buy into that philosophy. But we've got everything twisted around over the last 30 years. Now it's like, hey, baby, you're going to need 25 medications the rest of your life. It's all genetic or this, that, or the other thing. But there's never an attempt to fix what the problem is. Are you with me so far?
Yes, sir.
Okay, but what I came across was, I came across this very, very interesting article where they put it to the test. They took, in this study, it was both men and women. So it wasn't like they excluded one sex over the other. So I like that. And they said, we're going to try something really, really bizarre and really different, but it's free. And I thought, free? I think I like the sound of this, because I think I could do that. But in this what were you going to say?
I said, me too, I like that free word.
Yeah, I mean, isn't it nice not to have something that costs $1 zillion to do it?
Yeah.
That's like the woman that came in the other day. She says, my doctor just offered me a solution for my problem. I said, really? What is it? $265,000, and there's a 7% chance of success. And I'm going, that is a non-solution right there. That's not much to go on. But in this study, what they did was they compared the use of psychotropic drugs that are historically used to treat bipolar depression and they tried the free technique. Let me tell you what the free technique was. The free technique was having the person wake up exactly the same time of day every day of the week. That's called, let me see, what's that called? A schedule?
Got it.
Consistency? And so they had them wake up exactly the same day. Then they went through the process of making their bed. Or, let me start over. If they need to go to the bathroom, go to the bathroom. But immediately, instead of going and plopping on the couch and watching the Three Stooges, they said, no, you're going to have a schedule. And here's a schedule. You're going to wake up at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock. We need you to make your bed, drink a glass of water, brush your teeth, floss your teeth, whatever you do. And then we want you to immediately go and feed the dog, take the dog for a walk, go outside. But anyway, they had like 10 things on the list. And lo and behold, when someone consistently did that, all of a sudden they started producing all these feel-good chemicals like serotonin. I know you don't know much about serotonin, so I'm going to tell you. I'm just joking. I know you know about that stuff. But when somebody has a serotonin deficiency, this is kind of what it looks like. They go, oh, man, this sucks. Today is not going to work out well. The situation is going to go badly. I can't see any way how this is going to be positive. I've got all this negativity. But when you have plenty of serotonin, here's the way it goes. Serotonin, when you have enough of it, you go, you know what? This is extremely stressful what I'm going through, but you know what? It doesn't even register as stressing me. I can't believe that I'm able to get through this without this being a problem. Today is going great. So you tend to be more joyous and upbeat and happy. So every time you take a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor, it is definitely causing damage to your neurons and your brain cells. You know what does not cause damage to your brain cells? Is you being the general, and the general says this, get out of bed, make the bed, go read your Bible, take notes on what you want to accomplish today, write down 10 things, go outside, sit in the sunshine, take the dog for a walk, milk the goat. I made up that last one. That really wasn't in the study. But so, you see, when you have a routine, what you're doing is you're rewiring the brain. Let me ask you a personal question. I'm sure you've never heard of my question, but I'm going to ask anyway.
Okay.
All right. If you take a group of people and you reward them and say, instead of you working every day, what we want to do is we want to pay you money to stay at home. And let's just say you're a single man and you've lost your job. And so you go to this and say, I'd like to participate in the study. And they say, we will pay you exactly after taxes $519 a week for you to stay at home and do nothing. Well, here's what that's done. That is called the law of unintended consequences. God knows exactly what he's doing. We need to have as many challenges as possible to cause our brains to grow and develop and to give us something worthwhile to do. So what do you think the person does when they look back in the morning after 15 minutes of being awake and they go, oh, my goodness, my bed looks perfect. I've just vacuumed the bedroom. I think I'll vacuum the... I've had water. I'm going to spend 15 minutes reading the book of Proverbs. Actually, it would take me hours to finish Proverbs. But you look back with a sense of accomplishment. So I don't really trust what people tell me anymore about these sort of things, Scott. I just don't.
Okay.
What I believe in is the way this has always been. You got to get up, and you got to get moving, and you got to develop a good routine, and you got to take care of yourself. Point number two, for a person that has bipolar, I can just cut to the chase right now. If you eat grains or you have refined sugar, you're never going to get well. It's not going to happen because it generates so much inflammation of the brain. It probably chews holes in your brain cells like PTSD does. And so we got to find a way out of this. And so one of the things that could be done is this person could start taking cod liver oil every day just to start feeding and nourishing the brain. I don't know if you've heard this before, but the vast majority of what takes up space in the brain is water. If a person even remotely becomes a smidgen dehydrated, they start having negative thoughts. That has been proven over and over again. Let me ask you, what is the plan for rehydrating a person, or how do we hydrate the brain?
lots of water.
There you go. But in this case, maybe we want to add salt to the water, like Celtic salt.
Okay.
Personally, I'd probably put the juice of a lemon and probably take 3 or 4 spoonfuls of frozen grape concentrate and just make my own Gatorade and sip on that throughout the day. But you have to ditch the Powerade. You got to ditch the Gatorade, the Cokes, the Diet Cokes. All that's chemical warfare. There's nothing you can do to make anyone radiant and strong and healthy.
Now, he's asked if we could go back to, since he's just gotten here, it'll be about a week, it'll be a week tomorrow, if we can get back to water with lemon, and he was wondering about collagen.
Heavy meat chicken with skin and bones.
Well, that's tomorrow's menu.
Well, tell him to go out in the forest tonight and run around with a spear and kill a chicken.
There you go.
Do you know what chickens smell like when you grab them by the neck and wring it and hang them upside down, and then you dip them in a barrel of boiling hot water and pluck them? You know what that smells like?
No idea.
Most people don't like the smell of that. Okay, yeah. So we need a routine. We got to come off all the sugar and the grains. We need to go more of a high-fat meat diet. Lots of eggs, lots of rich butter. Is that what he's doing anyway?
That's what he's asking for. Anyway,
I know where you're coming from. Maybe the very best food has not been available.
Yeah.
Okay, so we can hit the ground running. We can do pure butter. I know this may be a sin, but I like Kerrygold butter. It's good. So
yes.
He's got to have a routine. He needs to go for a minimum of 2 walks a day out in the sunlight.
Yeah.
So the only way that you can grow new brain cells is if you, let me see, what's it called, exercise? So he needs to get back to lifting weights and going outside and walking. And it's also called novel learning. You've got to put yourself in a situation to become learned. Here's the other thing. I know this is not going to be super well received by a whole lot of people, but let me just say this right here. Anytime somebody goes through trauma, and the truth of it is, no one's going to lie to me, and no one's going to lie to you. I know there's a lot of people out there that live in a fantasy world, and they believe that there's perfect people out there that never suffer. That's called baloney.
Exactly.
Everyone has had some issue that has been brutal to deal with. But I'm going to tell you the truth of it. God has designed all these things to make us better. Doesn't it say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, that in everything give thanks?
Right.
Okay, so all this trauma that he's been through, he can use this to improve himself. This is designed to grow new brain cells. He's not responsible for the trauma.
Right.
He didn't do it. Other people make bad decisions, and then you suffer because of it. But you know what? That's going to happen to everybody. There's going to be a whole lot of people that suffer, not because of anything they did, but it was because of the very selfish decisions that other people made. And so he is in a situation where he can turn all this around. So he needs a very good schedule and a routine. He needs a rich, higher-fat diet, and we're going to have to rehydrate him. I think I've told you how to do that.
Right, yes, sir.
And so he needs to spend probably a minimum of 1 hour a day reading and studying how to get out of this. And you know what that'll do? He's going to start to give himself permission to heal and to forget about the past. I'm trying to think of the Bible verse. Does it say, not that I have count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing that I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto that which is ahead. It's almost as if we have permission from God to put the past behind us and to move forward. And so today's conversation is, what is the most positive step forward that we can make? And so we're trying to map it out. Now, if you want to call me off the air, this will not be a text message. It will not be an email. But if you want to call me for just a vocal conversation, I will tell you what I have discovered that heals PTSD far better than anything else.
What I'll do is I'll have him call you. So it's...
Well,
Okay, but you gotta. Now I'm just gonna be honest with you. I have got a super full plate today. My son asked me to come pick him up at the airport, and I told him no, not because I don't want to. I love him like crazy, but I am filled from stem to stern today and tomorrow because I've got my back up against the wall with something that has to be dealt with. So he can call on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, and that'll be fine.
Well, yeah, that's
just
that's,
have him call. Do you have my office number? That's where I prefer him to call.
Yeah,
because that's going to keep. You don't understand how my brain works, but I have a running log of every phone call that I make. So if I have a sheet of paper, the front and back, and I have 27 phone calls on there, I try to write down details about the phone call. That's just kind of how I'm trying to keep my brain organized. So if he'll call my office, I'll be glad to help him.
Okay, super.
What he really needs to do, since he's here, he needs to come see me.
Well, and we're working on all of that, including me coming to see you. There's so much going on trying to get things organized. But
well,
yeah.
I think we got him organized today, so I know he's already up out of bed walking the block.
Yeah, okay, sure.
That's good.
It's unfortunately up most of the night, not able to sleep in bed.
Well, I know, and okay, I get it, but the quicker that we resolve this, the better. We're just going to have to run toward it.
Exactly.
And let me tell you the next part of it, and I'm not trying to scold anybody here, but if we have to wait for everything to get organized and everything to work out great, then there's never going to be a time to fix him.
Well,
we're going to have to take what we got and move forward, right?
I have to be the one to get off work to get him there.
Gotcha.
Got me?
Yeah, but you know what? I want him to start figuring up some creative solutions on how he's going to fix himself, too.
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
Good deal. Thank you for your phone call.
All right. Bye.
Now let me just say this. One of the things that my mother used to say, and I'm not saying she said it all the time, but sometimes she would say, "You've got to play the hand that you're dealt." Well, I think she's right. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes. Good morning. Good morning, Dr. Morgan. My name's Joe, and I absolutely love your show. You are so helpful to us. On the information you provide, you're an absolute godsend, and actually, you're a miracle worker with all the knowledge that you have at the top of your head.
Sure. This is, man, you were, like, so good to me. Did you say your name was Dylan?
No, it's Joe.
Joe? Okay. Thanks, Joe. That was very sweet.
You're very welcome. The reason I'm calling is I've got a friend who's 28 years old, and he has a shaking to his hands. Only his hands. He said that he's had it for since he's age 7, and so he can't, he's used to holding things steady, but if he holds both his left and his right hand out, they shake maybe an eighth inch to a quarter inch, and it's constantly going on, and he's just learned to live with it, but nothing else on his body shakes. And I've given him some multivitamins, maybe thinking zinc might help him.
Yeah, no, good choice.
Calcium, magnesium to calm him down. But I'm wondering, what would you suggest for, think it is?
Okay, I'm not trying to put him on the spot here. You said since 7 years old?
He's had it since age 7, and he's 28 now, and he's just learned to live with it. But it's not normal, I don't think.
Is there any chance he started smoking cigarettes at age 7?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Well,
but
if you said it was my dad, I'd say, okay, he probably started smoking cigarettes at age 7. But as far as you know, does he smoke cigarettes now?
No. He doesn't, but he chews tobacco regularly.
Okay. Well, do you know how long he's chewed tobacco?
Oh, you know, I would say that he smoked cigarettes and chewed tobacco. He used to smoke cigarettes for at least 10 years and then chewing tobacco for, you know, maybe a total of, like, you know, 10, 15 years he's been doing it.
Okay. And you realize, I'm not trying to be judgmental at all. I just want to piece it together and figure out what would cause some type of essential or non-specific, unspecified tremor of the hands. And so these are all neurological brain issues right here. So what I'm always looking for, is there anything that would act as a poison to the brain? And, you know, I understand when people do not feel good and they are suffering on the inside and they want to change the way they feel, that's where nicotine and tobacco enter the scene. I think that's probably all I'm going to say on the topic. I mean, I think you've heard me say before that I have the world record for breathing the most secondhand smoke of any human being. I'm really just joking. I surely don't, but I've had my fair share. Let's put it that way. And so this is all a neurological condition. And so let me say it this way. You know, I just mentioned, you know, what my mom used to say. She used to say, "Roy, you have got to play the hand that you're dealt." I know you know what that means. That just means you can't always choose the circumstances and the events of your life and what comes up, but you got to find a way to get through it. And so he's got this shaking tremor, and he's just a kid at age 28. And so what I want to do is I want to go through the process and suggest a couple things to you. Number one, there may be something that is definitely a toxin to his brain. And what I'm thinking of is monosodium glutamate. Now, if he's 28, that means he was born in 1842. Wait a second. Not 1842. 1991. Anyway, I just botched that one, didn't I? 1993. But anyway, to make a long story short, back in 1993, dude, do you know how much MSG that they put in kids' Happy Meals? It's just yes. Unbelievable.
And it was so everywhere.
And so the average American kid is raised on a high MSG diet. Now, you got to just play along with me like this might be plausible. Some people are so much more reactive to MSG than others. But what I always look for with tremors is I'm just thinking to myself, okay, what is the obstacle to healing here? What is the thorn in the flesh? And so we got to peel those back. Now, there are chemicals that are found in chicken that have been shown to do this. So if he's got a tremor, I'd probably take him off chicken. I know this sounds diabolical, but I'd probably say, young man, go fishing. Catch some salmon and flounder and eat those instead. But I would probably take him off anything that's processed with MSG because that's a known brain excitotoxin. And that's what a tremor is. It's hyper-excitability of the brain. Now, I never judge anybody that smokes cigarettes. Are you kidding me? What good would it do? It would do no good. But it's incompatible with healing of these tremors, and either cigarettes or tobacco. I'm not the authority. I'm not the almighty father that's telling everybody do exactly everything I'm saying. But you're not going to heal tremors if you're consuming nicotine in any shape, form, or fashion. So whether it's this or it's vaping or chewing tobacco, you're just asking to damage the brain. So I'll drop that topic. But he would have been, so I don't know, what are we going to do about this? We got to find out if he's eating anything with MSG. Now, personally, this is what I look at. Your brain has this amazing, amazing electrical potential. Some of that's based on the water or the hydration levels that are in your brain cells. So I'm always thinking, what can I do to help hydrate the brain? So just like the very nice gentleman that called earlier, he was calling also on behalf of somebody else that's probably close to 28 years also. And I said, okay, let's take a quart jar of water. Let's put a half a teaspoon of Celtic salt. This is rich in magnesium and other mineral salts. And let's take the juice of one organic lemon and squeeze the heck out of it till every last drop of lemon juice is in there. And let's put some frozen grape concentrate in there, just a little bit. You're making kind of like a weak Gatorade. But you never underestimate what will happen to the human body when you give it what it needs. And so he's got a problem with electrical excitability of the brain. We want to calm that down, so we want to hydrate the brain. There is a spice called saffron. You ever heard of saffron?
Yes.
There was a study, and I hate to admit this to you, but it's true. It was the end of October of 2020 that I first heard about this. And I kind of thought to myself, you know, Roy, you're not really on the cutting edge because this is the first time you've heard of it. But that's just the way it works sometimes, right? You can't absorb everything in one day. But they took a group of children that were heavily, heavily abused by their families. I won't go into it, but this is what the kids looked like. They were all between 10 and 14 years of age. They all had major attachment issues. They were withdrawn. They suffered from panic attacks, anxiety, and depression. And they were just all socially, socially awkward because they did not have great brain development and coping skills. And so what they would do is withdraw. And they said, hey, we got a plan here. we're either going to give major psychotropic drugs that, you know, you get from the pharmacist, or we're going to give them saffron every day. Well, do you care to guess what happened with these kids? Saffron worked so much better than all the drugs put together, and I thought to myself, hey, Roy, what can you learn from that? And so all those psychotropic drugs, every one of them damages brain cells every time you take them. Now, when I say this, I know what I'm saying, and I'm not trying to be negative, but, you know, I'm living in reality here. Either we run toward these things and we fix them and take care of them, but does saffron cause damage to the brain? Oh, my goodness, no. Saffron has been shown to be one of the greatest healers of the brain of all time. Now, if you ask me a pointed question, say, Dr. Morgan, explain to me with perfect scientific references in biochemistry, how exactly does the saffron work? You know what I'm going to say to you? I am not really sure, but I know it does. And so if you give saffron to somebody that has like seizures, I've seen seizures completely go away just by saffron alone. It's amazing what that stuff can do. How many people are rushed to the emergency room from a saffron overdose? Yeah, there's your answer. I'm sorry, go ahead. What were you going to ask me?
What quantity of saffron would you suggest that he take?
Well, in this study, they just took it in capsule form because they were just trying to reproduce it every day. So I dig that. You're just trying to make it easy on people to swallow a pill that contains saffron or a capsule. They were using 88.5 milligram capsules, and I want to say they used 3 to 4 a day. I don't have the study in front of me, but that's what I think.
Okay, great.
And so what we're doing is we're going to heal his brain if he wants the tremors to go away. And the sooner that we take care of this and turn this around where he has healthy brain tissue, where it's not hyper-stimulated or hyper-excited, I want him to have a really, really good life. I bet you he's a great guy, isn't he?
Oh, he is. He's a wonderful Christian man serving in the church.
Is he really? What does he do for a living?
He actually works for Atmos Energy. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but yeah, he's worked
for
them.
No, that's
fine. And it's a physical hard work, but he's been doing for a number.
Yeah, but he is willing to get out there and work, isn't he?
He is a very hard worker.
Are you kidding? I love him already. I wish he was my son. So this is great. And so everything from cod liver oil, what I was going to say earlier is there are plenty of studies that allude to the fact that if somebody is allergic to, say, wheat, for example, if they eat wheat, that may cause a severe deficiency in vitamin D and vitamin B12. And let's put it this way, you got to have B12 to have a healthy brain. There is no way you can keep the nerves and the brain in great working order. And so, for example, if somebody that you go to church with suffers from what's called multiple sclerosis, they can keep going to the doctor over and over and over again. That's endless amounts of prednisone. You know what prednisone's going to do? It's going to make you want to eat everything that's in sight. And if what's not in sight, you can get in the car and go get some, right? So that plan is not going to work to pack on 60 pounds of extra mass because you're on prednisone. The problem is it never addresses the root cause of the problem. So there are so many studies that show that you have the autoimmune disease multiple sclerosis that you have an allergy to a food. So the sooner that we come in contact with the reality on that, the sooner you have healing take place. So I would say that with the tremors, we need to take a close look at maybe during his childhood he was exposed to a boatload of MSG. I would probably go as far as to say, I know I'm going to be radical by saying this, but have you ever heard they put a little MSG in children's vaccines to evoke a stronger response? They do, and that's totally wrong. You know how I can kill this conversation right now on the radio? If I told you they have to use aborted fetal tissue to grow these COVID-19 vaccines, ain't nobody going to want to listen to me because I've been down this road so many times. That's a deal breaker. So I'm not going to bring it up.
Unfortunately, that's true. That's terrible what they use. Well, this has been very helpful. I will sit down with him and explain the path to healing and get him on it, Lord willing. But thank you so much for having this knowledge off up of your head where you could just think. God gave you such a clear mind. I'm so thankful for that.
Oh, you're so kind. And you know what I would say? I would say I'm a work in progress. So thank you for your kindness. And tell this young man I am so rooting for him. I cannot wait to find out what happens on this journey toward healing. This is a great opportunity.
I will tell him. Thank you so much for taking my phone call and for your information.
Yes, thank you. Have a great day, buddy. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
You know, something else that I used to hear my mother say? Well, she said a lot of things I thought were funny. She would say, this is like a total waste of time, I know. She would say, great lands to Goshen. I don't think I ever heard my mother say a curse word in her life. But if she was really stressed, she'd go, oh, my lands, great lands to Goshen. That was strong for her. Good morning and welcome to the program. How are you?
Dr. Morgan, I'm doing just fine.
Oh, good.
Got a question for you. Don't get mad at me. I know you're not a pediatrician.
I am already angry. What is it?
I've got a great granddaughter that's 16 days old, and she's got her days and nights upside down.
All righty. Well, tell me about the birth. Did mother have a C-section?
No. It was a regular birth. She had the thing that takes away the pain.
Oh, she had like an epidural.
Yes, sir.
Do you know whether or not they hooked her up to an IV?
Yes, sir.
Okay, there's always a possibility they injected antibiotics into her, and thus they went through the womb or the placenta and the umbilical cord into the baby. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I was reading an article the other day, and this doctor's opinion was that homeopathy is a joke and it's just ridiculous. And I said to myself, that's only his opinion. Just because he says that doesn't make it so. So if this was my little girl and she was 16 years old and her days and nights were disturbed, this is what I would do. If I was the dad that had this baby, I would pick up the baby right now and carry the baby out into the sunlight. I don't want the baby getting sunburned, but you're trying to let the natural light from God's creation of the sun strike her flesh and skin, because we're trying to reset the baby's biological clock. Okay?
Yes, sir.
And so we're going to open up all the shades in the windows during the daytime so as much light comes in contact with the baby's skin as possible. And then at nighttime, we're going to make the house pitch black dark. And I know that the electric company doesn't want you setting your AC below, what is it, is it 98 or 78? I can't remember which number that is.
78 now.
So, but when you have a baby that's not sleeping at nighttime and staying awake, well, what I think we should do is I think we need to lower that AC to probably 68, because the cooler that baby becomes, the more that they go into deep REM and delta wave, delta sleep. I kind of made some of those up. You know what I mean, though?
Yeah.
But there's a homeopathic remedy that's called Arnica Montana.
Yes, sir.
Arnica Montana comes from a flower that grows on the side of a mountain, thus the name Montana. That's a French word for mountain. I think. Parlez-vous français? Oui, oui.
And so, in America. I didn't know that.
Maybe a French explorer named Jacques Le Pew, he discovered Montana. I meant to say Pepe. Never mind.
Yeah.
But anyway, if you give this little baby, it's called Arnica Montana. The dose will probably be either 6X or 10X. You get it at the health food store. The baby's going to take them super easy. It's not going to be a problem. And I would do that. Now, the next thing is... Yeah, just put it. It's like these little bitty powdery tablets.
In their formula?
No, in the mouth.
Okay, she's only 16 days old.
Well, when my son was 16 minutes old and his lungs were full of feces, guess what I gave him? I gave him a homeopathic remedy, and he was 16 seconds old.
Well, that's good.
But you know what? When you got a right lung that's filled up with poop, you're going to do something to help the body turn around, aren't you?
Yes, so, that's pitiful.
Well,
that's what happened to one of my granddaughters. That's pitiful.
Yeah, but you know, you gotta play the hand you're dealt, right?
Yes, sir.
So if a baby comes out and his lung is full of poop, what are you gonna do? Well, I chose to give him a homeopathic remedy and then take the little pump and suck all the poop out of his lungs. How do you like them apples? You just gotta deal with it, right?
Yes, sir.
And so, but you know what? in the real world, that's what you do. You got to take action. I mean, I may be wrong about this, but you know who James was in the Bible, don't you?
Yes, sir. He was Jesus' half-brother.
There you go. He was the half-brother of Jesus. But what did James say? He says, you talk about your faith, but I show you my faith through my works. I think he also makes a bold statement. Don't just be a hearer, but be a doer. Is that right?
Yeah, live out your faith. Yeah.
And so we got a 16-day-old little girl right here, and we're going to say, what are we going to do to reset the body? So you're going to take her out in the natural light. You're going to take her for walks.
About how long would you say?
As much as the parents can.
Without getting a sunburn, that's what I mean.
Well, you don't have to be in the sun always. You can also be under a tree, and you could be walking, but as long as there's light. The baby can be shielded. You need to put your rice farmer hat on that covers the entire half of Cherokee County. So big.
Oh, I got you. Well, you know I live in Anderson County.
I know. I just was joking. If I was sharper on my feet, I would have said that. I would have said, what do y'all do on the rice farms in Anderson County?
Hey, we could have had one this spring.
Just about. But, you know, the rest of the world is suffering so badly for water. They're in drought. I feel bad for them. But
yes,
God has been very, very gracious and good to us. I thank you, Lord, for our water.
Yes, sir. He is filling up our water table.
What I'm saying is the more time they can keep the baby outside, walking around with the baby, the faster they're going to get their wishes, which is to sleep at night.
Oh, that's good.
And so give the baby Arnica Montana, either 6X or 10X. That's a good dose. Do it as much as you need to, but we need to reset the body real quick.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
All right. I appreciate you, Dr. Morgan.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We love you, and God bless you.
Well, thank you for your love. I appreciate you, and I love you, too.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
This program is Health Essentials, in case you don't know. My name is Roy Morgan. Good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm fine. Good morning, Dr. Morgan. How are you today, buddy?
Your voice doesn't really sound that familiar. Have I met you before?
Oh, well, you might say we're acquainted, I guess.
Okay. All right. Go right ahead. Okay. You're starting to sound more familiar all of a sudden.
Okay, sir. Well, thank you, sir. I just woke up and turned on Dr. Morgan. Sorry I'm late. But I listen every week, Dr. Morgan. And you just had a gentleman on, and you recommended saffron for seizures. B12 is a must for the brain. And there was something else you were talking about for the brain, and
well,
I missed it.
I was saying there's a neurotrophic factor that causes brain growth, and that's regulated by vitamin D3. So you can imagine being indoors and playing video games all day long is not going to get you some vitamin D3, is it?
Wow, no.
So if you need some D3, I need you to go outside and do yard work and work on your okra and tomatoes.
Okay, I hear you. What about 20,000 units of vitamin D a day?
Well, I had one woman that I saw this week that she was so inflamed and so out of her body chemistry was so out of whack. I recommended to her to take 20,000 units a day for just a short season, not forever. But we're trying to fill up her reserves to meet her body's requirements for vitamin D3, because vitamin D3, it probably acts more like a hormone than it does a vitamin. It's amazing what it can do.
Yeah, I was told to take it. I don't remember. I've been taking it every day for probably a couple of months. I was told to regrow my bones for my so I could have implants for my teeth.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you one of the most important things you've got to address. There's two of them, and I think it's going to be very easy for you. One of the keys to absorbing minerals into the bone structure of the jaw. Now, I know you've never heard this before, but a long time ago, there was a man named Samson, and he had to come face-to-face with 1,000 men coming down upon him, and they meant him harm. They had bad intentions. And so he picked up the jawbone of an ass, and he slew them. Have you heard that story?
Oh, many, many times.
Well, that's because the jawbone is absolutely the densest, thickest, hardest bone in the body. It's not by mistake. Well, maybe the elbow's number two. But to get the jawbone to become thicker and denser, you got to do two things. Give up sugar, and you need to eat rich butter and good, high-quality fatty foods like eggs.
Yeah.
And if you walk every day, walking is going to increase the blood flow through your jaw. And if you used a technique called oil pulling with sesame seed oil, now we're in business. Good. Good job, man.
I do that. I try to do it every day.
But magnesium is so much more important than calcium is. The only form of calcium that I really ever use consistently day in, day out, is one called calcifood. If you're trying to rebuild, regrow, strengthen bones, you need to have some raw bone calcium. It's called microcrystalline hydroxyapatite. I just said that to see if I can impress you with a big, long word. I'm not sure what it means.
Yeah.
Okay. So beyond what I've told you, what else would you like to know?
How do you spell myoxy? Or
it's, you know what, the just use the abbreviation MCHC.
MCHC, and that's the calcium, correct?
That is the only form of calcium that your body can deposit and grow in the bones. That's what your bones are made of. I know that sounds radical, but your bones are not made of citrocal. They're not made of calcium carbonate. They're not made of limestone. They're not made of granite. They're made of MCHC.
Do you get that at the local health food store like Granary?
You'll have to ask them and see if they have it. If they do, then yeah, you're looking at raw bone calcium.
Okay. Raw bone calcium.
I mean, I've been able to pretty... I'm not trying to make a joke here or be super funny, but I literally get to experiment with everybody that walks in my door. I'm so sorry. The time just ran out. I just looked at the clock. Can you call me again next week and we'll pick it up? If you wake up in time, I'm in.
Yes, sir, I will.
Okay. Hey, thank you very much for your call. It's really good to hear your voice, man.
You too.